The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello, Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be talking about how to make our streets safer for everyone, pedestrians, bicyclists, anyone, through the Crash Victim Rights and Safety Act. And our guest is Rose Quinn. Rose is speaking as a victim advocate for Families for Safe Streets, and she is informed by her 7 years working as a community safety, traffic safety educator for SUNY Ulster, and as administrator of this region's Governor's Traffic Safety Committee grant. And as you may know, listeners out there, if you've been watching the news and you know, you've heard, I'm sure, read, heard, saw stories about increase in traffic accidents and pedestrian accidents and so on, and how people are speeding more and not driving as safely as they should. And Rose is going to help us understand all of that. So welcome, Rose.
Thank you for having me, Vincent. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. You were here very early on in this program. So, Rose, why is traffic safety considered a health crisis by health experts around the globe?
Well, because the projected number for this year is 1.3 million human beings are going to be lost on our roads. That projection gets just grimmer and grimmer if nothing changes. And the World Health Organization is projecting that by 2030, 2.4 million people will die on our roads annually, all over the world, all over the globe. In the United States, we are on average losing about 40,000 people a year. That number was either static or even going down for many years. And a few years ago, it started to tick back up. And there's a few reasons for that, and we can talk about that. But last year, during COVID, unprecedented, no traffic on the street, and yet our fatality numbers went up, and in some places quite significantly. For 2022, we are looking at already a potential projected 46,000 human beings being lost in this country. Every 3 seconds, a New Yorker dies in a crash. And we do really stress that we want to call these incidents as crashes, not accidents. An accident implies that there isn't, there isn't a predictable reason. There are very predictable things that happen when there are traffic mishaps, and there are things we can do to avoid it. Mm-hmm.
So an accident implies that it's unavoidable, whereas it's not really. If people just practice better safety, right?
Absolutely. And, not just on the individuals, if our roads are designed more safely, so it's definitely a combination. It's not all on one or the other, but certainly,
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to what you said about that fatalities were going up steadily and then that really were exacerbated by COVID. Talk to us about some of the reasons why. I mean, for one, probably there are just more people and more cars, more population globally and here in this country, but also COVID had particular challenges. Can you talk about both of those things?
Yeah. So we are, just so you know, traffic safety experts are still trying to work out exactly what happened during COVID. And there's lots of speculation. A couple of things are pretty clear. Our speed increased by 5 miles an hour, and that has not decreased. Speed is the primary killer. It is the most prevalent factor in fatalities is the higher your speed, the more likely it is that you're going to be, you know, killed or seriously injured in a crash. So when we talk about what happened during COVID, you know, even though there were not as many people using the roads, the people who were out there were driving faster. They tended to be, there was a lot of delivery people out there. And mm-hmm. this is something that I really hope in the upcoming years, we take a good hard look at who we have delivering, you know, because they are still driving professionals. And I don't think we should just willy-nilly, you know, hand over the keys to people to deliver stuff. And then there was stress. Obviously, you know, stress, mm-hmm. people were stressed out. I was out there on my bike often and people just, you know, the ones who were out there were, you know, they seemed like they were in another place.
Right.
Which is understandable.
Angry, right? Anxious, mm-hmm. you know, all of those things. Yeah.
And in terms of why it's, you know, so that was the pandemic numbers. And like I said, that's going to take a while for them to really hash out exactly what happened there. Mm-hmm. But we do know that there are other factors that are making our numbers creep up. One of the biggest factors is actually the size of our cars. The size of our cars is getting larger and larger. And as the size of our vehicles increases, our pedestrian and cyclist fatalities also increase. So those numbers are actually going up fairly dramatically in comparison to people who are in their cars when there's crashes. People who are outside of their cars are dying at very large and alarming numbers.
And you would think, you know, with climate change increasing exponentially, that, you know, and that our vehicles should be getting smaller and lighter, but that's not the case. So are there any issues that are particular to Ulster County with regard to safe streets?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you have to take a regional approach anytime you're looking at, you know, traffic safety, because we're all different. We all have different behaviors. From 2019, I just finished doing the numbers for my grant. 119 human beings, excluding the 2022 preliminary numbers, have died in Ulster County. So that number is, you know, if we do it to date, is a higher number.
Mm-hmm.
That alone is a pretty, you know, sobering, I think,
unacceptable
thing to think about. And we're not the worst. We're actually not doing, some of our issues with motorcycles in particular, motorcyclists for several reasons are often, you know, getting into trouble on our roads. We have mm-hmm. dark, windy roads. We have a combination of very rural and fairly urban, I don't want to say very urban, but fairly urban environments, and a lot of suburbs. So we have all three of those things going
and
on.
Animals too, like deer and so on, right?
And we have
all that.
And then we also have just the usual suspects, you know, distracted driving is not going anywhere. People are still driving way too distracted.
Yeah.
And, you know, just having the hands free, although I think it's a great idea, you know, always have your phone, the law. But, you know, also think about, you know, the types of conversations even you're engaging in. Like if they're very distracting, you may not want to be doing that while you're driving.
Well, yeah. My daughter is just learning how to drive. Right. And mm-hmm. I continually emphasize that not only do you need to have your eyes on the road 100% of the time, but you need your mind on the road 100% of the time, right? So that you're anticipating and analyzing and, you know, what mm-hmm. what's going on around you, what could go on around you, and, you know, that notion of defensive driving. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, I used to be an avid motorcycle rider from a very young age. And when my daughter was born, I basically gave it up, and mostly because the circumstances on the road had changed so dramatically, you know, with all of the, you know, the infotainment systems and texting and everything. There are more and more distracted drivers. And I feel the same way even with, you know, I'm perfectly capable, physically capable of riding my bike to work. I live up on the Ashokan Reservoir, but, you know, I'm just really reluctant to do it, you know, on a daily basis, you know, with the drivers out there. And I don't want to be paranoid, but I do want to be, you know, exercise some good prevention, you know?
Sure. Sure. And that, you know, I mean, so we live in an area where a lot of the roads maybe don't have shoulders. Mm-hmm. They certainly can get very dark at night. Motorists aren't necessarily expecting cyclists on the road, especially at night. All that being said, though, you know, that's all makes everything a little trickier. However, you know, we can, you know, we, so us as cyclists certainly can, you know, do a lot to keep ourselves visible, to always use lights at night, always stay riding with traffic. You know, pedestrians are supposed to walk towards the traffic, but cyclists are like cars. So we're supposed to stay. It's an important, you know, people, I think cyclists like with less experience will dismiss that because they think, oh, but I can see the car coming. This is safer. And it's not. It's much more dangerous to ride that way.
And it's amazing how many people, you know, I notice as a driver, and because I'm a cyclist and a driver, how many don't use lights. And whenever I go out on my bicycle, I've got the brightest lights that are you can't miss, you know. And I'm sure, you know, we want to touch more on that in terms of you know, safety measures, but first we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back after these words, and you can tell us a lot more about what we need to know.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today, we're discussing about how to make our streets safer for everyone, pedestrians, bicyclists, whoever uses our streets and sidewalks and so on. And we're also going to be talking about the Crash Victim Rights and Safety Act. And our guest is Rose Quinn. Rose is an advocate for families for safe streets, and she is community traffic safety educator at SUNY Ulster and administrator of this region's governor's traffic safety committee grant. So Rose, before the break, we were talking about some of the things that cyclists and even pedestrians might do to make themselves safer in terms of prevention. So, you know, can you talk a little bit more, elaborate on that just a little bit more? We talked about lights and we talked about riding with traffic if you're a bicyclist and so on. Can you talk about some of the other things that maybe cyclists and even pedestrians can do to make themselves a bit more visible?
Sure, sure. So, you know, it's definitely in a cyclist's best interest and a pedestrian's best interest for that matter to be seen. As a cyclist, you know, brightly colored clothes are usually your best bet. If you're going to be riding at night, you probably should consider wearing something with reflective, you know, some things have reflective strips, some things have reflective writing. They work amazingly well. As a cyclist, you are expected to be following all of the same rules that car drivers are following. So you are expected, for example, to stop at a stop sign You are expected to stop at lights, and you are expected to give pedestrians the right of way. You know, and then there, of course, is other safety equipment. You know, helmets are, you know, certainly not something that we should dismiss. People under the age of 14 in New York State are have to wear helmets by law. But it is highly recommended that everybody wear a helmet. I know that when I go to New York City, where there's a really, really, you know, kind of entrenched cycling culture, you know, you're hard pressed to find someone who isn't wearing a helmet. You know, everyone is wearing their helmet.
Just common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, and pedestrians, if you're walking at night in particular, have a flashlight and shine the light out into the road if you see a car coming so that the car can see you. Again, don't wear dark colors if you can help it. If you have to wait for a bus, for example, because in Ulster County, there's definitely lots of spots where you might be waiting for a bus and it's dark and it's right on the side of the road. You know, try to make yourself as visible as possible without putting yourself in danger.
And,
right?
And what about in crosswalks? All right. I would think that one should not assume that because you're a pedestrian in a crosswalk, that cars are going to do what they're supposed to do, that they're going to stop, right? You should be careful, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the best rule the best rule is to always try to make eye contact with the driver, even if they are stopped, so that they do recognize that you're there. As short of actually making eye contact, you know, if you have it, you know, if you can look. This morning, I actually was walking and I saw clearly that the guy who was pulling out was looking in the wrong direction. He wasn't.
Yeah, that's always disconcerting.
Right? So
driving your car in one direction, looking in the other, not good.
and particularly for those of us who are crossing at intersections where there's red lights, try to remember, and you know, and this is the warning for the drivers, because you know, they certainly are the ones who are kind of causing the mischief in this situation, but you know, that red light stop where people are, you know, can stop and then go. Well, you are supposed to stop. And far too often drivers will treat that as a yield and pedestrians will get in trouble. You know, they walk out, the light is red and the driver is focused on the cars, not the person in front of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what we call an area of conflict. So, you know, we got to be, you know, and that's where, you know, there's only so much the individual person can do. And then we have to actually start talking about law and legislation and infrastructure that is also designed to help keep people safe.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting, you know, from years, as I mentioned earlier, I rode motorcycle for years. And one of the takeaways from that, those years of experience, was that I always, when riding, I always assume that motorists out there no one is going to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and and if you go on that assumption, then you just say, okay, if they do, hurrah for them. But if they don't, at least I'm on it. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, riding the two-wheeled stuff, you know, if you're smart, makes you a better defensive driver. You have to anticipate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Rose, there is a law called the Crash Victim Rights and Safety Act. And it's very interesting. I was reading a little bit about it. Would you like to review that for
Absolutely.
Our listeners, what it means and why it's so important?
Okay. So the Crash Victims Rights and Safety Act is a 7-part piece of legislation that is being proposed to the state assembly. It's already passed the Senate. And these laws, I mean, I think a lot of people are a little surprised when they're like, oh, that already isn't a law. But so these revisions, I should say, are things that are designed, just as I said before, you know, It's because we need a team effort here. You know, we need the laws and we need the infrastructure to keep everybody safe. So some of the things that are included in this, so more funding for complete streets So Complete Streets programs are the programs where communities can come together and talk about, you know, what the safety issues are that they're dealing with. And then they can make recommendations based on those committees. Mm-hmm. There is going to be, so maybe one of the most important things for municipalities is they will be allowed to lower their speed limits. Right now, it really takes a pretty, it's almost impossible.
A former town supervisor, mm-hmm. it took us forever to get the speed limit on 209 mm-hmm. coming, you know, reduced to 40 miles an hour coming out of Stone Ridge. So I know.
Yeah. So this would definitely give, this gives towns, it gives them the right to set at least down to 25. Mm-hmm. I would like to see it down to 20, but I think 25 is a good start. Some of the other things that are included is education for drivers. Mm-hmm. So the DMV licensing portion, you know, the 5-hour test, does not include any information about pedestrians or cyclists, and with this legislation, that would have to be a part of the curriculum. It also have to be a part of driver's ed curriculum. Maybe one of the most important pieces for me as a survivor of traffic violence is the opportunity for victims and family members to actually be able to go in and speak with a DMV judge when the decision is being made whether or not a person should keep their license. And because right now everything pretty much is kept on the side of traffic, so it's a traffic violation. Killing somebody in New York State, by the way, with your car, if they're outside of the car, unless impairment is proved, is a $500 fine, and that fine is almost never written.
Yikes.
So
that's not right. So Rose, what's the level of support for this bill? You said it passed the Senate and it's in the Assembly now. Are mm-hmm. you seeing pretty broad support out there in the
Just last night, I had such a beautiful time. Not many people will say they had a beautiful time at the Common Council meeting in Kingston, but I did. And that was because they passed a memorializing resolution that is, you know, that they're going to support this. So has our county legislature. So has the DA's office. So has the mayor of New Paltz. Mm-hmm. So has the town board. You know, people are really starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, the way we exist on our streets is more and more becoming more tenuous. You know, it's not as we're going outside more, you mentioned mm-hmm. it before, and encouraged to do so, we should be, you would expect that, you know, in kind, there would be, you know, a response from motor public, but that doesn't seem to be happening.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of mitigating climate change, in terms of combating obesity and diabetes, mm-hmm. other chronic diseases, you know, walking, more walkable bike Absolutely. And pedestrian friendly mm-hmm. communities seem to be a really good strategy and a win-win. So Rose, we're running low on time. So tell our listeners how they can support the Crash Victim Rights and Safety Act and how they can get in touch with you in the minute we have left.
Sure. So if they want to support the Crash Victims Rights and Safety Act, they should go to the website for Families for Safe Streets. There is a petition, a really great petition, very easy. All you have to do is click it. You will sign in, and there's an option to send that off to your legal representative also, so that they know that you are in favor of the Crash Victims Rights and Safety Act. To get in touch with me for right now mm-hmm. Is a little tricky. So what I will say is stay tuned for what happens with Rose next.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Well, Rose, thank you so much for all you have done over the years to keep all of us safe. on our streets. It really is to your credit for all your dedicated hard work and for your colleagues as well. So thank you so much again for joining us and for doing all of that work. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.